See what this verse says. This is from Kapila section. Please repeat this. Jarayatyashu yakosham nigiranamanalo yatha. Read the translation.
Bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without separate effort, just as fire in the stomach digests all that we eat.
So, just as a food put in the belly is digested completely and the belly becomes empty, similarly the subtle body surrounding the soul is dissolved by the brilliance of the soul as the soul increases its bhakti, bhakti bhava more and more. So, somebody may have a question, oh, if subtle body is dissolved, mind, intelligence, ego are finished, then how can anybody exist? Then how can the Atma will be like, how can Atma act? But the Atma also has a mind, intelligence and true ego, which are all inbuilt body, inbuilt part of Atma's existence. Within the Atma there is no separate coverings like grass covering, subtle covering and all those things. Atma itself is one unit, absolute unit. And Atma has his mind and intelligence to think and to act. So then Atma will act with that. This is talking about the material subtle body, which is dissolved. At the time of death of anyone, the gross body is anyway burnt into ashes, but the subtle body is also dissolved when one becomes purified completely. And then one goes back to Godhead with only spiritual body. Please read this.
From Ingansheva.
How is Vasudeva attained?
Yeah. How is Vasudeva attained?
Vasudeva.
Vasudeva attained. Realizing the Lord by bathing in the dust of devotees' feet. Without bathing in the dust from
Before you proceed with that, you can go to your Subodhani guide. So you will know what are we doing. So you'll get an idea. Go to page number 83. In page number 83, see the first topic, read the heading, first heading. Rahuguna thanks Jadabharata and inquires further. Now it will be very easy if you see this. The first verse says, no, Karana Vigrahaya, Swarupatu Chikrata Vigrahaya, Niguda, Nityan Anubhavaya, all that he said, the first verse. Second verse, you know, my body is Kudeha, and mana hi vidashta drishte, same verses are, words are there. And your words are like himambaha, cooling waters, and your words are like agadam and amritam. So you all understand that we read it. I am inquisitive, kautuhala chetasa, all that. And then my mind is bewildered about how you say you are not fatigued. Then you see the 5 to 10, Jadabharata establishes the falsity of the material world. So first thing he does is telling about how the palanquin carriers as well as the, what do you call it, the palanquin itself and the body of the king, everything is transformation of earth only. So, and then in the note, the man is not fatigued, the example of the young girl is given there. And Ravana was imagining himself to be a dharmic ruler, though acting without knowledge. Therefore he told him that your rule is adharmic. And then illusory nature of the conventional world, the earth, that is the point about everything is earth or 24 material elements. So all that you all understood that. And then 11 to 13, Lord's qualities is abode and bhakti or truth. So to establish that, how the knowledge of the Lord is Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, the 11th verse you are seeing there. You don't have the book, you can see that. That 11th verse, Chakravarti Thakur gave a very elaborate purport which we read. Correct, no? Now we are going to 12th verse. See, the 12th and 13th are memorization verse and very important verse because it's talking about the solution to dismiss illusion. How can we dismiss our illusion, moha, and how we can develop bhakti for Lord Vasudeva? So the answer is very simple. It says, the dust from the lotus feet of devotees, pure devotees. And that is the point. Raho gunaita tapasanayati na chejaya nirvapanat grihadva na chandasanai vajalagni suryair vina mahatpadarajho vishekam. Yatrottama shloka gunanuvadah prastuyate gramya katha vighatah nishevyamano nudinam mumukshor matim satim yachhati vasudeve. Read the translation. My dear Raghuna.
My dear Raghuna, unless one has the opportunity to...
You can read from this one. So you can...
My dear Raghuna, one cannot realize the absolute truth by concentration of mind, sacrifices, accepting sannyas, following the rules of householder life, studying the Vedas, or performing austerities in water, fire or sun, without smearing one's body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees. It is not possible.
Yeah. And then link, read the link.
Link. Who are the great devotees mentioned in 5.12.12?
That is just the previous verse, yeah. And these are the devotees. Yeah, read it. The mind becomes?
The mind becomes fixed in Vasudev by hearing in the association of devotees. Where there are great devotees, there is discussion of Lord's qualities, forms and pastimes.
Gunanuvadaha, yeah.
And there is no discussion on material subjects like politics and sociology. By constantly hearing such topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into Brahman abandons this idea and gradually becomes attached to the service of Vasudev.
Yeah. So these two solid verses he is telling. So the first verse talks about realizing the Lord by bathing in the dust of devotees' feet. And the second verse talks about what is that actually bathing. See, not only it talks about who are the devotees, great devotees mentioned, but it also talks about how does one bathe in the, you know, dust particles of a devotee's feet. And the explanation is given. That means when the great devotees are discussing Krishna Katha without entering into topics like politics, sociology and all that, if one constantly hears such topics respectfully, the person gets such a higher taste that he rejects even Brahman. And he becomes attached to service of Vasudeva. This is actually the meaning of bathing ourselves with the dust particles from the saffron and dust particles of the devotee's feet. So yesterday in the Krishna Rasayanam, I discussed elaborately on these two verses. So I will not do that here. But I'll tell a little briefly about this. You see, the previous verse, the 12th one, it talks about sacrifices, sannyas, household life and all these things. Because these are all actually done. Yajna dana tapascheva pavanani manishinam, it is said, no? It is said that yajna dana tapa and all, if you do, it will do you pavanani. It will actually sanctify you. It will purify you, sanctify you. In the 18th chapter, there is one verse, yajna dana tapa natyajyam, it is said. A person should not give up yajna-dana tapa even if you have attained a very high perfect stage. So one should not give them up. Even if you become a sannyasi also, or one is about to put his foot in the Vaikuntha airplane, even on the last day our Dhruva Maharaj did all the rituals. So they are not supposed to be given up. Then why is he saying here, na chejaya nirvapana grihadva na chandasa na eva jalagni. Chandasa means reciting Vedic chant. And na eva jala agni surya. Even I'll show you one verse. You read this.
Following the principles of forest living and the footsteps of the great sages and munis, Prithu Maharaj accepted 5 kinds of heating processes during the summer season, exposed himself to the torrents of rain in the rainy season, and in the winter stood in the water up to his neck. He also used to simply lie down on floor to sleep.
Correct, na? This is Jalagni Surya. Correct, na? In winter, he is putting himself in chill, cold water. Sometimes he has to break the ice and go inside the water. And in summer season, he puts 5 fires. 4 fires on 4 sides and sun at the top. Summer season. Though not the reverse. In winter season, we may like to put 4 fires. It's like a campfire, you know. But in summer, you have to put fire. Why? Actually, why would Srila Prabhupada write? Read the purport.
These are some of the austerities executed by the gyanis and yogis who cannot accept the process of bhakti yoga. They must undergo such severe types of austerity in order to become purified from the material contamination. Panchatapa refers to the 5 kinds of heating processes. One is enjoined to sit within a circle of fire with flames blazing from 4 sides and the sun blazing directly overhead. This is one kind of panchatapa recommended for austerity. Similarly, in the rainy season, one is enjoined to expose himself to the torrents of rain, and in winter to sit in cold water up to the neck. As far as bedding is concerned, the ascetic should be content with simply lying on the floor. The purpose for undergoing such severe austerities is to become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, as explained in the next verse.
Yeah, correct. Tithikshuryata vagdanta urdvareta jitanilaha ariradha yishu krishnam acharattapavuttamam.
Maharaj Prithu underwent all these severe austerities in order to control his words and his senses.
See, if you do this, like you're putting fire around you in summer and chill cold water in winter, and when torrents of rains come, you go and stand outside, allow the rain to beat you down with water, everything, then what will happen? You will not speak too much after that. You are so, too much, I mean, you know, rebelling, arguing, protesting against us, all that will go away. You'll become humbled. Humbled by nature. So he was telling, our Vrindavanpa was telling, he was telling one devotee, you are humbled by nature, devotees are also there, and others are humbled by nature, humbled by material nature. So in this way one will become humbled. Therefore he is saying, these are all done for controlling the words and senses. Why do Kshatriya kings do this? Because Kshatriya kings have ruled the world for many years, and they have controlled subjects and sometimes killed also certain people in the war, and sometimes they have given heavy punishments of beheading someone, such kinds of things. So they have had a lot of chatra and control. So they do these things in order to completely give up the controllership and also control the words and senses. And then, and also read further.
To refrain from discharging his semen. And to control.
That means if somebody wants to stop discharging the semen, one has to perform austerities. One should not use a very soft blanket for covering. One should not sleep in a very cozy, soft bed. One may not get up in the morning. Correct, no? So one should lie on the floor and use a rough blanket. If a blanket is at all required. And one should take cold water bath. And in that way, one will be able to refrain from this. Yes, and then to control.
To control the life air within the body, within his body. All this he did for the satisfaction
prana,
of Krishna.
Control prana. All this he did. Ari Radha Yishu Krishnam Acharat Tapavuttamam. All these possibilities he did for what? Ari Radha Yishu Krishnam. For pleasing Krishna, he says. Satisfaction of Krishna, he did that. That means he's a devotee. He's not a jnani or a yogi. But he did that. But here he says, Rahu Gunai Tat Tapasana Yati. He's saying, hey Rahuguna, even if you do these things, you cannot, you know, attain the Supreme Lord very easily. He's saying, even if you do these things. Instead he says, what you should do? Vina Mahatpada Rajobhishekam. He's saying, only by bathing in the dust of great devotees, then only we can realize the Lord. Otherwise, tapaha, ijya, nirvapana, griha, chandasa. They all may purify you a little bit, but the purification will not be sufficient to see the Lord eye to eye. And one cannot attain the Lord without bhakti, attained by the mercy of devotees. So the Lord, Lord's mercy follows the mercy of a devotee. So only from the devotee the mercy of the Lord is attained. Therefore it tells the next verse. But who are the great devotees mentioned in the previous verse? That's one way you can question. Or another way to ask question is, okay, you are telling I have to bathe in the, you know, Mahatpada Rajobhishekam. Same thing Prahlad also says to his father. What is that? What it was? Naisham matistava durukramangrim sprishati anartha yadapamo yadapagomo yadartaha mahi asam pada rajobhishekam nishkinchananam navrinita yava. Third line he says, Mahatpada Rajobhishekam, there also. So Mahat means pure devotee, Pada means lotus feet, Raja means the saffron particles, and Abhishekam, one is to bathe. And what is that bathing that he is telling here? Read this.
Mind, who are the great devotees mentioned in previous verse? Mind becomes fixed in Vasudev by hearing in association of devotees. Where there are great devotees, talks concerning the qualities of the Lord, which destroy material topics, are sung. Heard constantly, even by those desiring liberation, those topics produce pure thoughts of Vasudev.
So, and he also says one more thing here below. Let's see. I read this.
The devotees of Krishna are described. Where one bathes in the dust of their feet, or where there are great devotees, yatra, the qualities of Lord, such as His affectionate nature, are repeatedly glorified. Even those desiring liberation listen. These talks produce pure thoughts of Vasudev, the son of Vasudev, without the desire for liberation.
Yeah. So two very important things are said. That when one hears the Mahatma devotees are themselves deeply affected by the Lord's qualities. Especially the Lord's kindness, the Lord's mercy, the Lord's sweetness, the Lord's greatness, the Lord's friendliness, and the Lord's extending nature. Although the Lord is transcendental, He is saulabha, is saulabhatvam. Once I was describing some of these qualities. He is apat bandhava, anatha rakshaka, sharanyata, and dinabandhuta, and saushilyata, mardavata, arjavata, and like that, there are many qualities like that. So when one hears, especially these qualities, so when one hears these qualities along with pastimes connected to these qualities, for example, in the assembly of Vaishnavas, they may describe how at the time of Bhishma's passing away, Lord Krishna appeared in front of Bhishma, and Bhishma got to see the beauty of Krishna's face and his lotus petal like eyes, and Bhishma became thrilled and enthused and energized that I am going to leave my body. He had Ichamrityu, correct, no? He had decided a date and time when I want to leave the body. At the time Krishna arrived there. So therefore he says that famous verse that, you know, the Lord has appeared in front of me at the time of my quitting the body because I am His unflinching servitor. So He has appeared in front of me. And when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked many questions on politics and sociology and, you know, Stri Dharma and Raj Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma, he answered all the questions to him. But all the while answering, he was watching Krishna. And then he told Yudhishthira Maharaj, now I have explained good enough about the worldly Dharma and I have done my KT. What is KT? Knowledge transfer. Because Krishna has brought you to me so that I can teach you everything about, you know, ideal. Because therefore Krishna brought him there also. Because Bhishma is one of the greatest experts. He has seen the world, thick and thin of the world. He knew everything. Therefore he brought him there. Then after that he said, now I cannot restrain my mind from describing the beauty and glories of the Lord. At that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I have some more questions about the transcendental subject matter, Parodharma, the last. After Sri Dharma, Vaishnava, after Sri Dharma and all the Varnashrama Dharma and different Dana Dharma and all. Then finally he asked for Parodharma. He asked questions regarding how, four questions he asked. kim ekam devatam loke kim vapekam parayanam. Who is one Lord I should worship in this world? Please tell me. Stuvanta kam, who should be done stuti? Kam archanta, whom should I do archana for? By doing which we will get our supreme auspiciousness. And then what dharma is the supreme dharma? You told me many, many dharmas. Which one is topmost? And then by chanting whose name can all the jivas be delivered? So when he asked the question, Bhishma became thrilled. So he glorified Krishna with 1,000 names, the Vishnu Sahasranama Stotram. So Vishnu Sahasranama Stotram is very special because it is inquired by Yudhishthira Maharaj, answered by Bhishma Pitamaha, and heard personally by Lord Krishna. Therefore it is very special. Correct, no? And Lord is sitting and hearing, in front of him only he is speaking. And in between Sahasranama, many times he referred to Krishna's name also while chanting Vishnu Sahasranama. So, although he is lying in an arrow bed, he is pricked by hundreds and thousands of arrows behind his back. One needle pricks us, we get fed up. But hundreds of arrows are piercing. And he is glorifying Krishna. And there is a song also he sings. Tribhuvana kamanam tamala varanam ravikara gauravarambaram dadhane vapuralaka kula vritana nabjam vijaya sakherati rastumena vatya. Like that he's saying. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anybody can sing like this if you put 100 arrows behind your back? Isn't it? Not just put the arrows, you have to lie on it. And half of the arrow should be inside your body. And you have to sing like this. So therefore we can understand how the devotees, pure devotees, feel the affection of the Lord. So and also Krishna, and he told Krishna that I want to see that sight of you. I am remembering that sight of you lifting the wheel and you know. You are coming to fight with me to protect your own devotee Arjuna. You know, your pearls of perspiration on your forehead and your face had turned ashen due to the dust cloud flying and your angavastra was falling off and Arjuna was catching your feet and your eyes were ridden with anxiety to protect your devotee Arjuna. So, and you were like a lion charging at me. Oh, that sight, how beautiful it is. So in this way his hair stood on end and tears were welling up in his eyes and seeing the beautiful form of Krishna he left his body. So and he went back to Vaikuntha, went back home back to Godhead. So it is said that in sabhas of Vaishnavas it is very important to describe the Lord's pastimes and Lord's affectionate nature and dealing with the devotees because that nature is forgotten by the living entities. So the living entities can revive and they can wake up by hearing that. Actually the beauty of these pastimes is that it is not that they are unknown to the living entities. They are all there, you know, in their heart. We have to just kindle it. It's like sometimes in a village they put the red hot coal, you know, covered with ashes. In the morning they use it and then they cover it with ashes and keep it. It remains as it is. Evening they come, they do like that. Again they use it in the evening. In villages, they don't put off the coal because litting of coal takes time. So they just keep it covered and it doesn't get consumed. It remains. So in the same manner, when we are giving classes to even new people, it's my personal observation. When you narrate the pastimes, you know, even in a crowd of new people chanting 4 rounds or 5 rounds, there will be a big wave of joy, big wave of admiration and thrill and pin drop silence. And you can imagine how powerful the path of bhakti is. When you narrate the pastimes of Lord, his devotees and the sweet exchange between them, you know, people cry tears actually. You may say it is all sentimental, it's a bhavukata and everything. Even though it may be bhavukata in the beginning stage, eventually they'll become steady devotees for a period of time as they grow in their maturity over time. But the reason I'm telling you this is that when one bathes in the dust of their feet, like Prabhupada describing pastimes in Krishna book is so thrilling to read the pastimes. He's actually narrating those pastimes in full ecstasy. He's in height of ecstasy and he's describing. That's what he's saying. And he is saying, in such sabhas, even Mayavadis also come sometimes to Vaishnava sabhas. Why? Because they are not getting higher taste anywhere else. So they come here with the hope of thinking that, you know, we will also get some higher taste and we can hold on to controlling our mind and senses. Because outside controlling mind and senses is difficult in the world. So they come with the hope for merging into Brahman. And when they complete attending the class, they forget for, you know, they forget the liberation only. And they also develop a desire to go back to Godhead. Like that Chakravarti Thakur says. He says that people who come with merging desire, they lose the merging desire by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Just like it is said, Atma Ramaschamunayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantyahaitukim Bhaktim Yetham Bhuta Guno Hari. It is said, no? The qualities of Lord Hari are so powerful that even souls who are liberated, they go mad and they lose their composure. They get agitated by the Lord's pastimes, they become thrilled, and their heart gets melted. And Prabhupada specifically in his purport, he says, read this one.
The pure devotee is never interested in material topics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly prohibited his devotees to talk about worldly matters. Gramya Varta na kahibe. One should not indulge in talking unnecessarily about news of the material world.
Yeah. So our Bhagavatam lectures or discussions can certainly have some kind of connections to other civilizations in other parts of the world, or you want to make a comparative study of other religions, what they say, you may talk, or you may take some latest news, what is happening, and you may want to connect it to Bhagavatam and make the people recognize the importance of Bhagavatam. But one cannot go too far in these things. Because if you go too far in these things, imagine somebody gave a Bhagavatam class, one devotee was giving a Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada's purport was saying, translation purport was saying that, you know, people in the West are simply materialistic and they are chasing after eating, sleeping, mating, defending, you know, and they're submerged in illusion, and then one should take to Krishna consciousness and become free from illusion and go back to Godhead. Something like that was there. So that devotee took, and then he wanted to talk about what is the illusion in the Western world. And he elaborately talked about many nasty things in the West and latest state of art. He knows latest information because he has probably read and heard in internet many things with specific names of actors, actresses and activities and so many things he was telling. So almost a 45-minute class. So there was an old devotee who got fed up with that class. He got up. Later on he came to tell me that, Prabhuji, what is this nonsense? It's such an obscene class. There are so many talks about what rubbish things are going on in the West. Okay, I agree that there are rubbish things going on. But you don't bring that rubbish into the Bhagavatam class. And you don't fill up our head with stool, you know. We are coming here to do, you know, Hridayantastohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti. We are coming to cleanse the heart. And why are you bringing so much garbage? So later on I told that speaker, Prabhu, some devotees didn't like this type of presentation. Prabhuji, I am just, whatever is in purport, I elaborated, he said. You know? Then I told him, see, in the purport, last part Prabhupada says, therefore one should dismiss the illusion by taking to Krishna consciousness, by chanting of the holy name, and one should go back to Godhead. That part also I can elaborate more. Correct, no? You half class for the first part, another half for something positive. Both you can tell, I told him. He said, okay, Prabhuji, I'll try, Prabhuji. He said, my only problem is I have too much interaction I have with internet, and I get too many WhatsApp messages. So I have more information for the first part, and I know very little of the second part. So he told me, next time when I give class first part, I will speak, Prabhu, and you complete the second part, he told me. So for that, I think, Prabhu, I will have to read the actual Bhagavatam a little bit. I said, yes, you have to read. If you don't read the actual Bhagavatam, then why do you give a Bhagavatam class? Is it not true? So, and also nowadays what happens, even in ISKCON there are many preachers, they know how to catch material from here, there, download from here, take from here, Just put it all together, put some masala at the top and then present it. You know? And like one boy, yeah. One boy was telling, you know, he had to go for a one-time program. I said, do you have some, you know, so he wanted some material from me. I said, Arey, in another 1 hour you have to give a lecture? Yeah, no, Prabhuji, if you give me something, you know, I will take something from you and I know some masala from here and there. I'll put together and I'll give it somehow. Nowadays, many people gather from here, there, and little bit, they know, they don't know subject in detail many times. Because nowadays, it's the age of internet and Google search, you know. So they know one thing, information you want, any information under the sun, you put Google search and they get it immediately. So many people have become very people of no substance. They lack substance. Actually, substance means you not only read it, we need wholesome knowledge. You know what is wholesome? Wholesome means you read, you understand, you think, you relate it to the world around you, and then you relate it to your own life, you relate it to others' life, and then you contemplate and you reflect, and then you digest the subject, and then you speak it a few times, then it will be more well-rounded and wholesome. It is not just superficial. So, therefore, if we talk too much of Gramya Varta, Gramya Katha, we will become, you know, kokla, hollow people. We won't have any substance at all. Therefore, in the morning I was telling you, our intelligence should be fixed on Lord Vasudeva. Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parakriya, Vasudeva Paramyanam. He says, so in every walk of life, Vasudeva is the center. So, and we may not be able to impress people by our presentation or lecture, but one thing is true, the pure information of the Bhagavatam can be recognized by any good heart. That wisdom resides in everybody's heart because every soul has some understanding of the Supreme Lord innately. There is an inner compass also everybody has. So when they hear the message of the Bhagavatam, they will wake up. That's what Prabhupada writes in that Markhen Bhagavatam poem, no? Srinvatam, Sakata, Krishna, all that. And then Prabhupada says, actually, you know, I don't have any power to transform these people. But Bhagavatam can transform, like that he says. So therefore I am carrying Bhagavatam message, he says. So, recently, one very big political leader had approached one of our devotees. He was telling, see, India has some serious problems and I can summarize all the problems of India in three, he said. So he was telling that there's a bhogavad, the Western mentality of enjoying is becoming very prevalent in India. Another thing is that it's terrorism. This terrorism is becoming a big menace. Third one is the Christian conversion. He said, yeah, you are all good people, ISKCON people, but many, many organizations are existing in India, but they don't come together. They are all independently doing little good work. But, you know, I want to bring all of you under one banner and be united and make one mighty effort and then, you know, in driving out these three things from India away and reinstate our ancient culture of India. And then he was giving an example. He said, different devatas attacked Mahishasura, Indra attacked with thunderbolt and he was driven away. Varuna attacked with his noose and he was also thrown away. Everybody was driven away. Then Mahishasura Mardini, who is our Durga Mata, she came and told all the fellows, hey, you all of you guys come. See, individually you won't be able to attack. All of you give your respective weapons, I will keep it in my 10 hands. She went with 10 hands and she attacked and she killed Mahishasura. So this fellow was using this example and said, you know, we should... So he was referring to all the different weapons to different organizations, Hindu organization. So he said, all Hindu organizations should come together and attack these three enemies. Then only we will be able to drive out these three enemies. So when our devotees had a minute, he said, wonderful, Hari Bol. You know, so the idea seems very attractive, no, when you hear it. Very impressive, no? Yes, let us unite Mayavadis and Vaishnavas together, no? Everybody, you know. So it may appear very attractive, you know. Everybody can attack together. But people like this, intellectual people like this, those who talk, you know, tell them to chant one round of Hare Krishna, they won't chant. But their mind is fully about how to save India, Bharat Mata, you know, how to... See, according to them, saving culture of India means it's not exactly spiritual culture. They have their own conceptions of what is culture of India. So they are nation-centered people, like this. So they have a lot of ideas, but if you go to their meetings, there is not one Krishna Katha spoken there. Nor is the Lord worshipped there. They worship, they put one big Indian map and put one Mata standing with a jhanda. Correct, no? Bharat Mata. There is only Durga Mata, there is no Bharat Mata. Under Durga Mata, all the different nations come. But they have minimized Durga Mata from the global scene to the local scene of India. Carrying jhanda like that. So, why I am telling you, if you become overly concerned about the Hindutva or Mera Bharat Mahan, or too much worry about Christian conversion, or too much worry about terrorism, or too much worry about cow killing, we should certainly save the cows. If that becomes the only goal of your life, then we can go off track. So we can do our best. By my suggestion to anybody would be, you first become Krishna conscious yourself and make as many people Krishna conscious. It's all a lack of Krishna consciousness which is causing all these problems. And Prabhupada himself was a Gandhian, and he understood that it is a waste of time simply trying to be a Gandhian. So he became a Krishnaite after that. So therefore Prabhupada's writing, we should not get distracted by worldly matters. The worldly matters. Now, for example, some ISKCON devotees are saying that, we should produce Kshatriyas, powerful, so that we can protect the cows, we can protect our dharma. Tomorrow, if somebody tries to trouble our ISKCON temples, we will teach our brahmacharis, everyone to fight judo or karate. Say, how many times you have to use karate, tell me? Anybody visiting temple, you have to use karate or judo against them? There are people. So these are all unnecessary worries. When Sanat Kumar Prabhu heard it, he did like this. He said, just, keep in touch with some good, forces like police and everything. If you have any problem, you just call them. Those people are meant for this only. Correct? Now, devotees will give up the chanting bit back and then they will be practicing karate. Isn't it? Isn't it? So, we can't afford to get distracted. So that is the point. And another thing, when we become too much worldly minded, see, when you become worldly wise, or worldly smart, you know which company is making how much turnover of money. Some people can tell you by heart also. And there are people, they know the entire world news. Today morning what happened, some devotees can tell you. Sometimes our devotees don't even know that Barack Obama is gone and Trump has come. Even that they don't know. Some devotees, still in lecture they say, let us take the example of American President Barack Obama. Somebody said, they said, what? People ask, Prabhuji, you are in which yuga now? Isn't it? So, why I was telling, if somebody is too much worldly smart, wanting to know what is happening in that country, these people, this news, that news, then there is no time for studying Bhagavatam. Correct, no? Because, we only have 24 hours. Anybody has got more than 24 hours, please tell me. I also need some. I can borrow from you. We don't have more than 24. So, we have to decide how much we should be worldly wise. Sometimes becoming too worldly wise also makes us lose our innocence. Also, it's very dangerous actually. To be keeping up to date on the net, what is going on. So, in case there is something called as theological application. If you can take Krishna conscious literature like Bhagavatam and take a current day scenario, and then you can relate both and write an article, Vedic Observer. That is very wonderful if you can do that. Chaitanya Charitamrita does it very smartly. So like that we can do also, if somebody can do that. But at the same time one should be careful not to get drowned in the ocean of material news all around the world going on. So such devotees who are doing such things, they have to keep a balance, correct? No? Because the spiritual substance, it produces good character, pure character, spiritual character. If you don't take it sufficiently and we are too much drowning in material, you can look at the face cut only. If somebody is too much into material things, you will see the whole, their lifestyle, their speech, their body language, everything changes. Completely, they look much different than proper devotees getting too much into this. On the other hand, you can't be a Bhajanandi all the time sitting in a gufa and rotating the mala. you know, becoming like a junior Haridas Thakur. That is also another extreme. So we have to be somewhere in between. So these two verses are very important. One verse says that Yajna Dana Tapa, none of this is as powerful as the dust from the feet of a pure devotee. In Nectar of Instruction, first verse, Prabhupada says, you know, Jnana Yoga and you know, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and all these things are like steps, you know, leading you to the ultimate Bhakti Yoga. But instead of going through the steps, Prabhupada says, you can take a one-stroke method. What is it? Taking shelter of a pure devotee. One-stroke method, it's like lift. Board the lift, zoom, it just takes you up. So that's what here also is saying. You can go through steps. See, one step is like one million lifetimes. You know, going from Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga, Jnana to Ashtanga Yoga, it's like millions of lives. Whereas if you meet a great devotee of the Lord, take the shelter of the devotee, and then that devotee will infuse or infect, Prabhupada says, infect in the positive sense, the attraction and attachment to Lord Krishna. And just like the Narada boy became attracted. Rukmini heard about Krishna and became attracted. Like that. And that attraction is awakened. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. Then perfection is achieved. And she is the last part of the chapter. 14th. 14 to 16, Jadabharata is revealing his history. See, now Raghuna is, I might have asked in the link. Here you read the link here.
Raghuna might have asked, who are you? So mercifully giving knowledge to an offender, great offender like me?
Yeah. Answer? 14th. Previous?
14. Previous life as Bharat. Previously, I was a king named Bharat, detached from all material activities, both seen and heard. Vimukta Trishta.
Oh, this you can read from Prabhupada's translation. This one. Yeah. 14th. Very important. 14th. Go to the book.
In a previous birth, I was known as Maharaj Bharat. I attained perfection by becoming completely detached from material activities through direct experience and through indirect experience. I received understanding from the Vedas. I was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, but due to my misfortune, I became affectionate to a small deer, so much so that I neglected my spiritual duties. Due to my deep affection for the deer, in my next life, I had to accept the body of a deer.
And this purport has one very vital point. Read the purport.
The incident herein described is very significant. In a previous verse, it is stated that Vina Mahatpad Rajobhishekam. One cannot attain perfection without smearing the dust from the lotus feet of an exalted devotee on his head. If one always follows the order of the spiritual master, there is no question of falling down. As soon as a foolish disciple tries to overtake his spiritual master and becomes ambitious to occupy his post, he immediately falls down.
See, in Prabhupada's times, Prabhupada wrote one letter to one disciple. Don't try to initiate anyone in the presence of your spiritual master. I am here still alive. Don't initiate. So a strong letter Prabhupada wrote. So somebody was trying to initiate in Prabhupada's presence. So another time Prabhupada wrote a letter. Do not follow this so-and-so Swami. He is exactly telling opposite to what I have told all of you. He is spreading around a wrong instruction. And what is the truth I am telling you here, like that Prabhupada wrote. So why Prabhupada had to do such things? Prabhupada had very little time. 1977 he went back to Godhead. And he had started a movement where some of the disciples were neophytes or young, or some of the people are trying to go off track or get deviated. So that Prabhupada, therefore here he is writing also, if a disciple is trying to overtake and become ambitious to occupy his post, then one immediately falls down. Otherwise, one cannot fall down, he says. And then Yasa Prasadat is saying, read that, if the spiritual master is considered
an... Yeah. If the spiritual master is considered as an ordinary man, the disciple surely loses his chance to advance further.
Why? Because if you think of him as an ordinary man, then how can you think you can gain anything from him? Correct, no? You think he's ordinary. So this is not only for the spiritual master. You will see in your own association also, if you associate with some devotee with respect in your heart for the devotee's spiritual advancement, for the devotee's surrender, then you make a lot of benefit. Correct, no? On the other hand, you you don't have respect for a devotee, you don't admire the devotee's qualities. You just like the namesake here, it'll go like this and go like this. It'll go. Therefore he's saying that. Yeah. Despite a very rigid life in devotion service, Bharat Maharaj did not consult a spiritual master. When he became overly attached to a deer, consequently he became strongly attached to deer, and forgetting his spiritual routine, he fell down. See, this is the purport where Prabhupada says our Bharat Maharaj did not have association. This is the purport. It's a very important point. Yeah. And 15th verse translation.
My dear heroic king, due to my past sincere service to the Lord, I could remember everything of my past life even while in the body of a deer. Because I am aware of the fall down in my past life, I always keep myself separate from the association of ordinary men. Being afraid of their bad materialistic association, I wander alone, unnoticed by others.
Yeah. See the second line of the verse. Krishnarchana Prabhava no jahati, he's saying. So because I had done Krishnarchana before, because of that Prabhava, because of the influence of that sincere service, I did not forget. I again came back to Krishna. That means, you know, any devotee who has rendered some service to Krishna, Krishna's glance is on the devotee always. And such a devotee might have committed some mistakes and fallen down also, but Lord says that he will surely return back to me. Like he says, Partha Naivekanamutra Vinashastasya Vidyate Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschit, he says, no? Durgatim Tata Kachati. Similarly, here also. See, in the purport, first he says, Svalpam Apesa Dharmasya. And the second point, he says, Yamyam Vyapismaran Bhavam, he says. Yeah. Then the 16th verse is very important verse. Please repeat. Tasma Naro Sangha Susangha Jata.
Tasma Naro Sangha Jata.
Jnana Sinehaiva Vibhrigna Mohaha. Harim tadiha katana shrutabhyam.
Harim tadiha katana shrutabhyam.
Labdha smritir yatyati param yati param advanaha.
Labdha smritir yatyati param
advanaha. Tasma naro sanga susanga jata.
Tasma naro susanga susanga jata.
Jnana sinehaiva vivrigna mohaha. Harim tadiha katana shrutabhyam.
Harim tadiha katana shrutabhyam.
Labdha smritir yatyati param advanaha.
Labdha smritir yatyati param advanaha.
Yeah, hear this one, Iri. No, this one. Yeah, you have the...
By detachment from matter and attachment to devotees, one gains the sword of knowledge by which one can cut illusion. By hearing and speaking about Lord Hari, one revives his dormant Krishna consciousness and attains the Lord.
Yeah, read the purport of Prabhupada, small purport, very nice purport.
To become liberated from material bondage, one must give up the association of worldly people and accept the association of devotees. Positive and negative processes are mentioned in this regard. Through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is dormant within. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving the chance to everyone. We are giving shelter to everyone who is serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. We arrange for their lodging and board so that they can peacefully cultivate Krishna consciousness and return home back to Godhead even in this life.
See, Prabhupada saying, therefore the guest house is made for life members to come and stay. Attend the Mangalarti, take the mala, chant, hear Bhagavatam class, go back and make their family members devotees, and then gradually become proper Vaishnavas, get initiated, go back to Godhead. That is Prabhupada's plan, which is revealing here in this. See, asanga means detachment from material things. Susanga means attachment to devotees. By these two, one gains knowledge, which is a sword. Tasma naro sanga susanga jato. So, one is asanga, then susanga. Detached from matter, attached to devotees. Then we get the sword. With that sword we can cut the illusion to pieces. So we have completed this 11th chapter. Any questions here? There are some questions. Quickly, 2-3 minutes. Somebody can read it quickly. Yes, take this question.
Prabhuji, I am very grateful for bringing out nature of mind and giving so much practical lessons with day-to-day examples. I always get fully surcharged and inspired and become joyful when these 4 BVP days are But later I am very poor in my contemplation and application of knowledge which I hear and read. Sometimes I feel fearful due to that. So can you please guide and give solution?
So the 4 points I said, they are for contemplation. What are they? First, self-awareness, super-soul awareness, sacred choice, see the future now. So this gives you a clue on how to contemplate. Correct, no? And I gave many examples. Ajamila elaborately talked. So after hearing so much about contemplation, you can't say you don't know. Only we should not be lazy to do contemplation. Once you take out some time. Some devotees, every day while going to bed, they sit in the bed, they close their eyes and think about what they read today, and they think of the application, they thank the spiritual master Prabhupada. So this type of taking out some time is a very good idea, actually. Yes, next.
Prabhuji, Gita 2.16 says, of the eternal there is no change. Srila Prabhupada mentions, Prakriti is also eternal.
Prakriti is eternal, but the manifestations of matter are temporary. Matter is eternal, but atta is eternal, but the chapati is temporary. Like for example, you take chapati atta, make round gola. The golas are temporary because you can put back in chapati atta and make a very big this thing, correct, no? Like that, like each of us is, imagine if we are all like one chapati, each of us. Finally, when pralaya happens, all the golas are put together, one big, 24 elements. Yes.
Continuous.
Yeah.
Mentioned here as Parinama Vada. Though there are many transformations, how to understand? If transformations are true, then how we are illusioned by coming in contact with them?
Actually, the illusion is due to just like Prabhupada gives example, if there is a sun in the sky, you take a broken mirror and send the light from the sun into a dark room. In the dark room, it shines. Any of you have done that? You like that, yeah. So, somebody inside the dark room will wonder, hey, how it is shining so beautifully? Has the mirror got the ability to send out a shine like that without the help of sun? So, therefore, the spiritual beauties are reflecting on material bodies. Not fully, but partially, pervertedly. Therefore, we are bewildered in this world because it's not that in this world there is no beauty, but the beauty is temporary. Similarly, everything we see is changeable, perishable. So the reason why the illusion presents itself is because of its having connection to the spiritual world, which is a real reality, and this is temporary reality. So this is the main subject matter of the whole chapter today. Yes, next.
Prabhuji, it is said that one should increase prana shakti. What is this and how is it different from pranavayu?
Prana shakti, actually they say that if you ask the yoga teachers, they will tell you. They say that each of us, we can conserve our prana by yogasanas, by pranayama, and by conserving the inside energy in our body. Actually, in Patanjali Yoga, Ramdev Baba has published one book. There are 2 pages on that about prana, he writes. That book is available, very famous one, if you get it along with this thing. So he says that if the prana is very strong inside the body, you will have tremendous physical energy also. Like, for example, the ability to do many... The strength of the body, it's not like... It is not like the physical strength of a weightlifter or anything like that. This prana is connected to ojas also. The ability to think, ability to feel, ability to will, ability to express one's energy, these are all based on prana only. If prana goes down, then the health and immunity go down in the body. also. So this is what I read, a few lines I read, I am telling you, but it will be nice if you read it yourself more nicely. Yeah. Yes. It is not like the pranavayu. Pranavayu is different. See, in Bhagavatam it is explained, the prana gives strength to the working senses and intelligence gives strength to the jnanendriyas. Like for example, the jnanendriyas are five, you know. Eyes, nose, the shabda sparsha rasarupa gandha, all these things, jnanendriyas, they all actually function and the intelligence is like their leader. Similarly, prana is the leader for the working senses, like the hands, the legs, the genitals, the rectum and the speech. So they all are connected to prana. So prana gives the force in each of these items. Similarly, the intelligence gives a force for the jnanendriyas. Yes.
Prabhuji, if someone's body is fully tired and not able to do anything, so then how can we say it is also due to mind's problem, as it is very clear fatigue is due to body and mind. Example, in old age, body is really fatigued not to do physical services.
But Prabhupada was also old. Here I gave the example of Prabhupada. See, where there is a will, there is a way. Even old people also, I have seen, there are so many old fellows going to America to meet their son, daughter and all. Where do they get energy from? Correct, no? So if you want to do something, you will get energy. You will get energy, huh? What is the age? See, he's saying 70-year-old man is... the devotee who puts that this thing, he's 70 years. How many of you feel he's like a young man? Correct, no? Very enthusiastic, no? Every day. Yes, next.
On page 73 of Subodhani, mentioned that Rahugana is in goodness. But in 5.10.8, he is in Rajas and Tamas. So please tell how to understand.
Where is 73? 73 is here. Where is it mentioned, 73? Is it given somewhere?
Page 73.
Yeah, I am in 73 only right now.
Table listing.
Okay, Brothers and neighbors and mode of passion. Bajarapata's mercy allowed them to see his form. Okay. And leaders of dacoits, ignorance, they arranged for his liberation in the next life because he saw both Jarabharata and Goddess Kali directly. And King Rahuguna, goodness, they will... Oh, why it is said, the goodness aspect of Rahuguna helped him to make inquiries from Jarabharata, correct, no? Therefore, his bhakti was revealed to him. See, Raja Rishi has two parts, no? Raja is passion and Rishi is goodness. So, Rahuguna becoming passionate and criticizing Jarabharata is which part? Passion. And he is falling at the feet and begging him for mercy so that no offense will be taken by him. What is that part? Goodness. Therefore, it's written goodness. Next. That's all. Sri Prabhupada ki. Your Bhakta Vrinda ki.